The Garnet Wager is a show where two players compete in a fantasy-style competition while watching episodes of The Genius. Their drafted fantasy genius contestants earn or lose points through their actions, leading to an ultimate victor at the end of the season. But points don't tell the whole story. You never know when some fantasy garnets will turn the tables. Listeners are invited to play Fantasy Genius as well, through rules and criteria provided via links in the show notes. May you chase those ugly victories and beautiful defeats, even from the safety of your home. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Friends and folks, and welcome to the Garnet Wager. I'm Alan Ibrahim.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Six. Welcome to the show.
Why you gotta just make this weird? Like, okay, so when I'm having a conversation with you, I'm like, hey, buddy. I'm not like, hey, Alan Ibrahim. I don't make this weird.
Yeah. I didn't make it weird. I didn't. Oh, you're right.
It was strange. You made it strange. See, that's the thing about my intros is I'm always so smooth that it's totally like we're having a conversation, in that if you're not you or I, it's very awkward.
It's totally just like the ocean under the moon. You didn't go for that. I'm disappointed in you, boss. You waltzed yourself into... You cannot say smooth in this podcast anymore without referencing that song.
I guess that's true, you know?
It's not allowed. This podcast being the Garnet Wager, where two idiots talk about the Korean game show The Genius.
Mm-hmm.
This week we watched the penultimate episode of season 3, wherein the gang played Betting Yutnori.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, good memory, Alan. Thank you, Alan. Six, I am taking the reins of this podcast to say I thought this was one of the best episodes of this season. What did you think?
I thought it was a good episode. I wouldn't have said one of the best, but I mean, you know what? It was strong. It was definitely strong. I don't know. It was really interesting to see the dynamics. I like betting games. I think I like Yutnori.
Yeah, I kind of just want to play Yutnori sometime.
It feels like one of those games. Like, I don't know. It seems like it's like a Yahtzee or something, right? Where it's just like it's a culture's like basic ass game, and like if you played it a bunch, you would get so fucking sick of motherfucker. Do not make me play Yahtzee.
Right.
But
you don't like Yahtzee?
And Yahtzee's fine. I've played Yahtzee so many fucking times, my dude.
Yeah. The thing about being of Middle Eastern culture is I didn't play a lot of like games as a kid. We just kind of like went to church.
I see. Because y'all don't play games.
You're right. Exactly. Correct. We have different games. I remember playing, it's on a backgammon table, but it's not backgammon. It's like, you just roll dice and you move black and white pieces around. It's basically a game on The Genius, now that I think about it. And it's called Dali, which just means table. So it's not really like, I think it's just a home game that somebody made.
I see.
Betting Yutnori, though, is an interesting variant on a game we've seen before, because the players of The Genius, there only being three left, Yeonsung, Dongmin, and Hyunmin, aren't playing Yutnori. They are betting on a Yutnori game played by... just a fun smattering of previous contestants on this.
Who you can name?
Do you trust?
Let's go.
Me to get
Let's
these
go.
All right?
Here we are.
Oh no! Well, obviously Shina Young was back, and that was great.
That's true.
Kyung-hoon. Kyung-hoon, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great. Yep.
Okay.
He was a mess. I love him. We'll talk about him.
messy bitch. Yes.
Yep. And then who was the third one? Was it Huijong, our boy, your boy.
So there were four people.
Oh, was it Yu Hyun also came back?
Yes. All right. Wow. Actually, you did a good job there.
I'm smart. I'm not dipshit. Yeah, so they all came back. It's weird. They were, because were they, correct me if I'm wrong, were they weren't eliminated like in order or anything?
No, was that just like random? That was just like the people that they decided. So, you know, like there were two thoughts that went through my head, one of which is like these are the people that like they like were able to get back. But then I, you know, it's like I was looking at them and I'm like, no, actually, probably, I mean, there's probably a little bit of that, but I think it was also just the people who were probably popular, you know?
Yeah. It's a bit of a range. I was not at all surprised that Shinyoung came back because she's cool. And
Yoohyun.
Woojong coming back was just a funny, like, hey, all right, third try, man, you got this. Uh-huh.
And just another instance of him, like, having his now classic like multifaceted arc of like seeing someone do something cocky and be like, man, don't get cocky, you're gonna get punished for it, don't get cocky, and then himself getting super cocky.
They get so stunningly owned in the back end of this episode. Oh my god, we will get there. I really, first of all, the first like big moment that stood out to me was Ayoung immediately being very spicy to Dongmin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, hey, welcome back, French. Like, shut up. You talk so much. Oh my god, stop talking. This guy talks so much.
Yeah, there's a great moment where like there it's like the, you know, genius, you know, the bandage man comes on and he's like, welcome, and Dongmin's like, ah, look who it is, and Ayoung's like, don't you ever stop talking, it's the bandage man. You shut your mouth.
Like, whoa, bam, just guns blazing immediately. It's very good. And then, yeah, everybody's kind of playing like cartoon versions of themselves. Not intentionally, you know, but mm-hmm. She's doing that. You have Kyunghoon, who I do not remember, I have to say. But, man, have you ever just really wanted a single thing and you're willing to make a fool of yourself to get it? Like, this man, Hui-jong gets owned because he goes for a really obnoxious play and it fails badly. Kyunghoon just starts the game being like, wait, but I want to win. And they're like, no, don't be caught. Like, you're the guest. You don't just get to be like, I want to win, I don't care, fucking alliance. Like, no, don't. And he's like, no, but I want the money, guys. It's $10,000. And I felt really weird about that play, to be honest with you. It was kind of awkward.
There's a lot. So, I mean, are you talking about the early play or are you talking about the sort of like late to mid game one?
I'm talking more about just the general desperation coming from him. Like, I will ally with anybody if it means that I win. Please, for the love of God, let me win this.
I mean, I think he's like, So there's sort of two parts to it, right? And like one part of it is the sadder part you can look at, where it's like he keeps coming to the genius and kind of getting embarrassed. And he just wants to look cool. Please, can I just look cool for once, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that's a valid reading, and I think that's part of what's going on here. But also, it's just like, I mean, there's also the part of him that just I respect a lot, which is just like, no, if I'm here, I'm gonna fucking play all out, you know? Like, I'm like, I didn't show up, like, even if I'm a guest, if I have a chance to win, I'm here to win. I'm a competitor. I like to compete. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. It's bolstered then by the fact that they're all assigned teammates, or I guess they randomly pick their own teammates. And there's the shitty sexist thing where everyone's like, please don't give me Ayoung. Please don't give me Ayoung. And then I believe, isn't it Yeon-sung who gets her?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can work with this. But Hyun-min gets Kyunghoon and is like, oh, okay, this is good. And there's then immediately like this big doubt and gap between them where like Hyunmin is willing to doubt his own teammate because it means that he'll get Garnets and work on all their alliances.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kyunghoon is like, but we're teammates. Like, sees a lot of it as like an affront to him and gets very like defensive against Hyunmin, even though they're so, like, they could still work together despite, you know, him doubting the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So their relationship on this episode was kind of fun to watch, and them coming back, and there was a lot of good back and forth between that pairing and obviously Yeon-sung's and Ayoung's pairing kind of like stealthily in the background going extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
What were some other big plays from the main section that you liked a lot?
I mean, like, I think I don't know. So I want to say I don't know how much of Ah Young getting ignored was actually sexism. I think a large part of it was just like Ah Young didn't like. If you think about what her strengths are, she's like she's a really good like foundation for any team because she's a really good team player. She's really cooperative. And I mean, like, you know, with a few exceptions with Dongmin, but that was mostly, you know, sort of their unique dynamic. And I think she's really good for building a team around. But when it's just you and her, like, I can't think of any moments where Ah Young had this like incredible like galaxy brain play, right? And so I feel like it's just like, well, of the folks here, like most of them are sort of the galaxy brain sort, right? You have Kyung-hoon, who like had like the big first episode like betrayal play that like gave him a big early lead and then got him killed, but like if you're just here for one episode, who cares?
I feel like, sorry to interrupt you, the closest kind of comparison for Ah Young's play in this is sort of, she plays like a good, what's the character's name? She plays a good, like, all-mid Nyx assassin, where she's just, like, very straight down the line. She's playing to win in the background. Nobody's noticing her. And then, like, I wrote in my notes, like, man, wouldn't it be cool if she pulled a Nyx assassin and won at the very end? I'm making a Dota reference, too, a reference that I don't get, by the way, for people at home.
Yeah.
I'm probably completely off base, but let's roll with it.
Okay.
I wrote in my notes, like, wouldn't it be cool if she won? And then, like, literally 5 minutes later, it was like, oh, hey, guys, Ah Young's team won. I'm like, yo, that's great. I'm really happy about that.
I would say that she definitely seemed to have a vendetta in this episode. And I think that her opponents definitely, defeated themselves upon her spiked carapace.
Yeah, like it's sort of an outworld devourer.
Kind of like a mana burn.
Yeah, or like a winter wyvern.
I was naming all of Nick's assassin's abilities, but you go off.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Terror Blades. Meepo! Wait, there's a Dota character named Meepo and I'm not playing Dota? What? I love Meepo! I want to. Can I get a Meepo? Hold on, Meepo plush. Yep. All right, great. I'll be right back, guys. It's shipping to my house right now.
We'll talk about Meepo another time, Alan.
Uh huh, great. Can I be. No. This is not the time or place. There's some corny jokes, like, for example, Dongmin talking about, he's like, guys, I'm cool. Like, he's gotten a lot more subdued in the last couple episodes, which is great as somebody who thinks he was too much before. He has some, like, pretty good jokes, like, Record of the Three Kingdoms is my favorite book. I used to read it all the time. And that's, like a Chinese historical textbook.
Is it? Because I'm thinking, isn't that Romance of the Three Kingdoms?
Different story.
Is it? Okay. Okay.
Record of the Three Kingdoms is just like...
No, yeah, I knew it was a different story, but they're both Chinese old stories?
Like ancient texts, yeah.
Okay.
But like Romance has characters and narrative to it, and Records kind of does, but it's more like the Bible, where it's like, this guy was born in this year, and this is his son, and then he died in this way.
Okay.
So it's basically just him being like, I love reading textbooks. They have so many cool plays in them.
Huh.
There were parts where during this main match I was like doubting the players. I'm always fascinated when the genius kind of like places a wall between what the players are doing and what the viewer knows, because people were not doubting like fairly obvious lies, I felt like, and I couldn't tell if that was because they weren't paying attention or that was like an alliance play. It turned out to be mostly an alliance play by the end.
Yeah, but mostly like, it was like they didn't doubt lies when it was like not. You know, like
beneficial to them.
Yeah, right. Because it's like, I mean, there's a risk reward of like, okay, they lied about getting a two. Like, unless they got like, it's just sort of like they're how much are they getting for this versus what I'm wagering to call them out. And then also like, yeah, sometimes it's like, well, like, no one's gonna call Hui Zhong for most of the episode because it's like everyone wants him to win.
Yeah.
So.
And everyone expects him to win. And he tells people, hey, bet everything on me and I'll win. Oh boy. That goes great. What was I talking about? Yeah, the different like subtle plays there. And everyone has a pretty good poker face. Like everybody rolls and then just they do the smart thing where the game shows you, it always shows you what they actually rolled.
No, it doesn't actually.
Most of the time, at least?
Yeah, there's sort of a mix. Sometimes, like, it has a little die whenever they roll, and sometimes it'll have a question mark on it when they want it to be a mystery.
When it's narratively efficient for it to be a mystery. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot where they show you what it is, and then they confidently say it's something else, mm-hmm. and nobody calls them out, and you're like, oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, 3/4 of this game is people lying to each other and confidently lying. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Huijong, who, even though he can mostly get away with lying whenever he wants, he's like, I got a 2. It's like, Huijong!
You're allowed to say, oh, buddy. I guess he doesn't. Maybe he just doesn't trust his own poker face. Like, he doesn't trust.
Or maybe he doesn't trust his own, you know, cooperators, because, spoilers, turns out he shouldn't.
Yes, exactly. His like, pseudo-alliance with Dongmin, plus Ayoung, like, not giving up in this episode, even though it didn't feel like she spent any of the episode, like, colluding with anyone. Mm-hmm. She just kind of plays and goes very straightforward. Both of those things put this episode high up for me, where I was like, yeah, good things are happening. People are doing different things. It's not all just alliance plays. Like, some people are just playing the game. Some are entirely relying on alliances. Like, this is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if I did find it at the beginning a little bit overcomplicated with the whole, like, there are so many different ways to earn points and lose points, but end of the day, the Yunori game is like, you have whatever, 3 or 4 options on the die, and you go forward or backward, and then whoever reaches the end wins. That's what that game is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yunori itself is a very simple game.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the kind of game that, like, older men will play in the park, but in South Korea. Hmm. Where it's just like killing time kind of game. I like games like
that. It doesn't feel like it's deep enough. Like, I don't know. My association with games like that, sort of like games that, like, older people play habitually, are games like chess or like bridge, where there's actually a lot there.
You're just sitting thinking for a long time.
Right. And I feel like Yutnori isn't meaty enough. Yutnori feels more like a checkers kind of game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Where you can kind of figure it out quickly, and it's just like you're just playing it to play it. Mm-hmm. I really want to learn how to play chess. You should teach me. My dad actually also wants to learn to play chess.
I mean, like, the way the pieces move, or, like, how to play chess?
Well, I think how the pieces move is, like, you could teach me that in 30 seconds.
Sure. Yes, I could.
But I think how to play chess and how to be good at chess is where...
Well, how to be good at chess...
Is it one of those things where if I played... Yeah. Huh?
How to be good at chess is, like, listen, I'm not that good, but...
Yeah. I mean, I thought you said you were a coach of many teams and all that stuff.
No, that's Dota.
Same thing.
I mean, if my queen could use her ultimate, that would be pretty sick.
Yeah. God, I never get a sharp intake of air out of 6. That was good. Like the, all right, fucker. Here we go. yeah, and then I think I had another note. Another interesting play here was, so part of the betting, part of betting Yunori is you're making a wager on who's going to win. Or who's going to finish first, and who's going to finish second, who's going to finish third. After Yu-Hyun makes the second finish, because I believe Ayoung makes the first one, we get this great moment that we mentioned earlier where Huijong stands in the middle of the central room, and he's like, all right, guys, here's the play, and like puts on his best, like, serious kind of angry face. And he's like, there's a lot of distrust in the game right now, and it feels like a lot of people are messing with each other. Let's lay the groundwork. If everybody gives us 2 garnets, did he say give me specifically, or he's saying like give
no
the
like
players?
Give it, well, I mean, like, put it on the table, right? Because that's how this game works, is like when you doubt, you are putting up a garnet, and it's like, mm-hmm. if we can get 10 garnets on the table, that's 2 from each of you at this point, then we can kind of resume. Because right now it's like, we players are not that incentivized to win. We're all celebrities, right. And playing and winning for, like, 2 garnets is not worth our fucking time.
No. So, everybody put down a piece, and anybody who doesn't doubt when it's time to call doubt is the betrayer, and we know not to trust you. Easy, right? Mm-hmm. And then Hyunmin is like, but I don't want to. And he's like, wait, no, what? No, if one, like, and then they're like, yeah, if I don't want to, then nobody should do it, because if one person says no, then your plan doesn't work. And he's like, oh, no, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can't do my fun plan. He got so into it. He was so excited.
Yeah, and then, like, you can hear him, like, have that moment of being like, I think I got carried away there, because I think fundamentally my idea is good, and I think, like there's an emotional core there that resonates, but I pitched it a little bit too much like I was getting something, and so it wasn't a sympathetic story.
Yeah, it did read more to them like a this you guys owe me this thing.
Yeah, when really he should have said like, okay, we're unionizing.
Everybody evenly distribute the wealth to us, and then things will be fair from there on out. It's like, no.
If you want to make a deal with one of us, you can talk to our union rep. Uh-huh. We will have bargaining sessions at the end of every year. And it's not time yet, so I guess we can't bargain this year. Sorry.
Okay, terms are terms. Sorry. Back to the game.
Yeah.
This bad Huizhong union goes really unfortunately. It's weird. You don't see that type of like aggressive active play out of guests very often.
No.
So that was kind of a big like exclamation point on this episode.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I feel like the back end though goes pretty straightforward. Like I honestly, most of the fun stuff happens in the first two victories, and then by the second two, or after the second one, it was like, all right, now the next person is gonna finish, and then we're gonna be done with the game. Right, there are three. They wait for the third finish. I'm not mistaken there.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not talking out of my butt. And then I believe it's Hyunmin and Yunsung who are sent to the deathmatch.
Indeed, they are.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like I felt like they just ended up there, and I didn't. Maybe this was another moment where I like my attention faded, but I didn't notice. Like, so which one of them lost, and when? What was their justification for picking the other person?
I mean, well, there wasn't really any picking. There are three people left, and one of the three people was immune.
Oh, one of them won, and then the other two. Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah,
that makes more sense. I mean, like, so I didn't miss anything.
But Hyunmin did lose, and he lost because like he made some bad bets and he called a lot of wrong, you know, doubts, and you know he just honestly he didn't play this one very well. I think like you know we talked a little bit about how he had his partner Kyung-hoon, and then Kyung-hoon took like his attitude really personally, right?
Yeah.
But also his attitude was pretty, like, self-centered and stupid, frankly. Like
Kyung-hoon's?
No. Hyunmin's. Hyunmin's attitude there where he's like, oh, I'm going to, like, double, like, not just, like, not, like, lean into my teammate, but, like, double cross and lie to my teammate? It's like, yeah, then he's not going to fucking help you, dude.
Yeah, like, that's how that works, boss.
That you are stuck with him. He's not stuck with you. He doesn't have to give a shit about you at all. And so I really feel like he played it pretty foolishly.
Yeah.
Whereas Dongmin was just like, Dongmin was the only person who was like, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do it. And then a little bit later, when everyone else has lied, he can be like, listen, you're not going to win, but I told you I was going to help you, and I did, so can you have my back now? And Huizhong's like, yeah, you're right. You're the only person who did what they said they were going to do, so I guess I can trust you.
It's surprising to see Dongmin as like the what's it called person, the reliable person.
Yeah, but I mean it turns out he, like, if you look back at the history, he is. He has this like this sort of scheming, mischievous persona, but he's honorable and he makes deals and he holds up his end of the deal. And whenever he betrays you, it's only ever like it never feels personal or random. It's always like, well, listen, I'm going to have to turn my back on you here because you want more than I can offer. He's always really straightforward about it.
Right, exactly. And I actually ended up appreciating it, like looping around and appreciating that about him, especially as of this episode. And like you said, we're going back and going like, yeah, this guy has been playing like this for a while, even though the things we give him shit for are mostly just his personality. As a player, he's pretty much good across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
He doesn't betray very much. He doesn't. And maybe that comes with age.
Mm.
Like, maybe Kyung-hoon's sort of like, I would call it all like pseudo-arrogance in being like, I need to win this. I should get the money for this.
Definitely felt like a rash kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a, you know, it makes him even seem younger than he actually is. Because it's just like, Kyung-hoon, like, you don't need this. In fact, this is going to make the game harder for you.
I did like the callback to like another, it's like even making him feel younger is a callback to him and his flirting with Shina Young. Uh-huh. Because that was, if you remember, that was a big trend where it was like, he like his life or death relied upon Shin Ah-young, who he'd kind of like treated not that well, but also flirted with a bunch.
The like bad one way crush that he had on
right,
him,
and it's like, my dude, you are still like the kid who dipped her ponytail in ink, right? You're this, you're bullying your crush, and it's like, you're too old for this shit.
Yeah. You can be cool. Like you can.
Yeah.
You can just play the genius. You don't have to be, this like child about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was honestly one of the odder things about the episode, but about just in general about the guests. But yeah, the main match other than that progresses as expected. You know, alliances are broken, and then we kind of get to our death match.
Mm-hmm. But before we get to our death match, naturally we have to talk about homework.
Homework, 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 homework. I believe this was your assignment to me, correct?
That's correct. I got to assign something to you because I won for once. So I assigned to you a video game because I usually assign video games.
Because it's what you know, and you want me to experience the thing that you know with you. I get
right, right. And it's like, in this case, it was like, okay, this is a game I haven't played in a while, and I don't have like these, like, I don't like, it's not like I was like, oh man, I have to introduce you to a game that's been super important to me. It's like a game that I remembered playing and being like, huh, that's a strange little thing.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good choice for this. And that game, of course, is PN03, or Product Number 3, which is a GameCube game and one of the infamous Capcom 5. For those who are not aware of the history, when the GameCube was announced, Capcom was like, we're so excited for Nintendo's new console, the Nintendo GameCube. And as part of this beautiful partnership, we're going to create five new IP, five like AAA budget GameCube exclusive titles that are just going to
bring back the GameCube, baby.
It was at the time of launch, but they were like, we're going to be the backbone of the GameCube. This is going to be, you know, Konami and Nintendo. We're here till we die, baby. So one of those games didn't come out. Three of them ended up coming out on other consoles.
PN03, the redheaded stepchild of the bunch.
PN03 is the only one that stayed faithful and came out, and it was only ever a GameCube game. And was probably the worst one of them.
Really? Wait, is it like Beautiful Joe?
Uh-huh. Beautiful Joe.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4. Rest?
Hell yeah.
Killer 7.
Oh.
And PN03. And then Dead Phoenix, which never came out. The game that came out.
Wow. That's a interesting rogues gallery to be a part of.
I mean, it's like they weren't bluffing when they first announced it. They were putting some money and some star power behind this array of games. These are developers like Hideki Kamiya and Shinji Mikami and like big names, right?
Right. That's the first thing that stood out to me playing the game, which if people don't know, just as an explainer, is like a sort of character action shooter. And it plays very, very much like a precursor to your Devil May Cry's, or even like a very early Bayonetta, where it's all about dodging and knowing when and how to attack. You're playing as this character, PN03, who's like a cool, sexy agent.
Well, Vanessa cool is her glasses. Name.
Vanessa something? She has a cool last name,
it's
too.
Like S-C-H something.
Vanessa Schneider.
It could be Schneider.
It is definitely Schneider, I'm positive. Okay. Because I remember seeing it on the like talking the dialogue screens.
Okay.
And your primary, like not even primary, the only thing you do in this game is you move through, at least I played about half of the game and this is what it was. You move through these very sterile, like laboratory, almost like Aperture Science-esque white laboratory rooms, and you fight robots and you shoot them with your palm lasers. Apparently this game was, she was literally going to have a gun and then they ran out of budget and then they were like, give her palm lasers? Which, what are you doing? Palm lasers are 1,000 times cooler than guns, but mm-hmm. Sure. And then you also have sort of like fighting game-esque abilities called energy drives where you do like a fighting game input and then she uses another meter to do like strong attacks. And it's all about, like I said, dodging, not getting hit, and comboing enemy attacks and doing them in quick succession. And that's the whole game, from what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little artifice. The first thing they drop you into is hilarious because it's just this big ass desert, and you're left to kind of figure out the controls, which are very tank like. You're walking upward, left, you can turn left and right, and you can jump and you can duck, but then the rest of it is just you shoot and you have like a side dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this is the kind of game where the controls are such that you need a whole button on the controller to turn around, like to 180 turn, really says a lot about how they want you to interact with it. Like, it's not about, like, Bayonetta, I always felt like, gave you this freedom of movement that made you feel like you were a million times faster, stronger, and more elegant than your enemies because of all of the things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
This game is like, you are not, it's not that you're basically playing like a robot, but like, you need to make elegance out of a mess of a control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of the fun for me. I don't want it to sound like I disliked this game. I thought it was really interesting going from, yo, how the hell do I walk forward, into like, by like mission 5 or 6, pretty like effectively, like doing cool combos and figuring out a lot of different things you could do within that moveset.
And like, so your dodges aren't just like, you know, like in a lot of games, your dodges are just like, oh, you sort of like dash to one side or another. But like, with Vanessa, I mean, like, so her animations, I feel like, are a big part of the game's style. Like, when you aren't doing anything, her idle animation is clearly just like she has some drum and bass on her headphones, and she's just like bobbing her head and tapping her feet to the beat.
It's in sync to the game's music.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cool, I love that touch.
And so her dodge moves are like twirls and cartwheels, and they're a way better way to move around than like trying to turn and sidestep and attack.
Yeah, you're kind of expected to do those moves more than you are like hitting, like holding left and right, for example.
Mm-hmm. And so what you end up doing is you're in these fights where you're constantly like flipping and twirling left and right to dodge attacks, or just even just basically reposition while doing these palm shots. And again, even with your palm shots, you're like flipping over backwards and extending your palm like a dance move to attack. And so there's just this like this weird sense of like, one of the tragedies of this game is it feels like so many of its ideas were underdeveloped, but what's mm-hmm. there is really interesting.
It's, yeah, like, It does, when you explain it, sound like a really beautiful kind of game. But I think the sterility of the environment, and plus the fact that like I've fought like maybe 3 types of enemies
mm-hmm.
in the first half of this entire video game. It's apparently very short. You can finish a single mission in like 10 to 15 minutes, and I believe there are 11 missions. And they encourage you to do stuff like, they know also the fact that the labs are not distinct at all, because if you go into the trial missions, which are like how you get extra upgrade points between other missions, like regular story missions, each room is randomly generated based on a level you've already done. So they're just like literally copying and pasting blocks of rooms together to make a like a quote unquote dungeon or a level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the level design or anything. I think the level design does just enough to give you stuff to look at and to understand, to like dodge around, because there isn't a cover system. This is like long before cover systems became normal in games. It's more like, you know, there is a short height, shoulder height metal wall in front of me. If I want to dodge shots, I just crouch under it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pop up to do shots. Speaking of shooting, I think the one like really dated thing about this game for me was the fact that your shots, again, the primary thing you do, each one fires from an individual A button press, so you're just slamming this A button like constantly. Like, I need to kill enemies, and like, how can I kill them faster if I hit the A button faster?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to a finite point, like it's only so fast, and you can press faster than that. And once you unlock suits, because you can buy and unlock different suits for Vanessa, other ones have automatic features where you can just hold down A and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna spend most of the game like slamming that A button and then occasionally hitting the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
That is like how you interact with it. And that just feels very clunky to me and very dated. But that is also why I'm like, man, they figured this out eventually. And then they just made Bayonetta. Like, they understand that there is something satisfying about just like the art of attacking and dodging, mm-hmm. but not about the act of hitting the attack button. That's not the part that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I mostly enjoyed it. I just feel like I kind of got it after those couple of missions, and I was like, okay, I can finish this. And you were just telling me before we recorded that like the game doesn't have a plot until except in the beginning and end of it. And then it extremely has a plot, and it just like drops some knowledge on you and then leaves. And you're like, oh, I guess that's the game. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what they're going to leave me with.
Yeah.
Which is another like fascinating thing considering when this game came out, like what games were popular. And it's not even, like you said, not that even far separated from Resident Evil 4, an incredible game, like a landmark title that changed the way a lot of games were developed.
Mm-hmm. Made at the same, you know, developer, like different studio, right. But like, you know, nearby in the same building, one imagines.
Right. And you can kind of see the connecting thread between a lot of their games of like, we don't want this to, this shouldn't control quote unquote perfectly, but the difficulty of control is part of the charm.
Mm-hmm.
And part of like the learning curve is understanding how it moves, because, you know, it's a single player game. The value you're getting out of it is how much fun and like complexity you can wring out of its combat. Mm-hmm. But once you feel like you get it, like last night when I was playing, I played for like an hour straight. I was like successfully dodging and doing and like remember to duck and roll. And I was doing like the laser level where there's just like most of the rooms you go through are just a bunch of lasers that you have to run around. And I felt like I was freaking Alice in the first Resident Evil movie, just like effortlessly dodging lasers. It felt very cool. Mm. Or Mission Impossible even. Feeling cool. Again, another thing that this developer like got really nailed down really well after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to, I have played it. It's sort of like an interesting little historical piece in a time when, you know, you don't see games that feel as prototypical as this one does, except on like Steam Early Access.
Yeah, and it's a really forgotten, I feel like, entry, and that's sort of like, yeah, as you say, it's like this is the history of the genre. This is how you got Bayonetta. This is the same guy who went on.
You don't get Vanquish either. Same, even yeah, more. Totally. That's even a closer comparison. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you don't get Vanquish without like Vanessa just awkwardly like sidestepping around knee-high walls.
Can you imagine if they had been reversed and it was like this was the one that was the Vanquish, right, with the like rocket slides and stuff? This game would be cool as hell with rocket slides.
Oh my god, yeah. With this, most games need rocket slides.
It's true.
To be honest.
It's true.
It would be improved by rocket slides. Crash Bandicoot, without a doubt. Soul Calibur, you know it, baby.
Or a smoke break button.
Yes, correct. But yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it.
All right.
I have to throw you 3 stars because, like, you had mentioned this game to me months ago as, like, interesting GameCube games that are worth looking back at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, I didn't have an amazing time playing it. I was just sure. Like, yeah, they made this better. It's cool to see. So I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I learned this, but I'm not, like my life wasn't changed by it.
Fair. All right. Well, with that settled, let's head on to our deathmatch.
The deathmatch this week was the return of an old favorite, except not really. It is Betting Black and White. It's Hyunmin versus Yun Sung. It's Betting Black and White. We've seen Black and White more than once at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Black and White, I think I generally don't like very much because I think someone even says when they're explaining the rules again, they're like, oh, Black and White, like this game's complicated in like a way that doesn't sound fun.
Mm.
But I don't think Black and White is complicated. I think it's just like kind of simple to watch. It's not very interesting to watch as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about this DM?
Well, like we've had a couple of these recently where it's like, I think this was the best version of a DM I don't like very much. But yeah, like, I mean, the betting was a good addition. I do think it made the game better, and it did. It made for some potential, because I feel like the games of Black and White we've seen played so far have been real games, like almost of like attrition of like who is willing to stick their philosophy more and not get scared.
Yeah,
and that's fine, but not that interesting to me. And compare that to this, where like there's actually like, I mean, Hyunmin wins. Spoiler. Because he comes up with a plan, with a strategy. You can come up with a strategy this time. So.
And he comes up with it early, as I understood it.
Yeah. Yeah, like basically, as soon as he sees it, he's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. Here's what I'll do.
what was his strategy exactly? Because I was mentioning earlier, like, I kind of, once I saw black and white, I was like, ugh, and my eyes kind of rolled for the next 10 minutes.
I mean, basically, he's thinking, like, well, okay, since you can affect the value of individual plays, it's just like, I'm going to all in on 5 wins.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to just give up these number of losses and they won't matter. And that will, like, if as long as I am right and these are guaranteed wins, then I can't be beat.
And then that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how it goes.
It's interesting then, because whereas last week the departure of Yeonju felt like a frustrating product of like her circumstance and her position in the game and in society and all that stuff, Yeonsung's departure speech feels completely separate from why he lost the DM.
Does it?
Well, so the thrust of his departure speech is like, I spent a lot of this time I came into this game very unconfident in myself because I felt like I hadn't done much in my age and I've gone older and like lost the sort of like cunning, smart part of my brain that I had when I was Hyunmin's age.
Mm-hmm.
And in coming here, I saw him and I saw something I could try to emulate and I tried to be like him and I failed to do that.
And isn't that exactly what that DM was?
Well, it's more that just like Hyunmin played better. Like it's not right, that like
but
he. Hyunmin
played better because he saw the rules and he instantly had a spark of genius and said, "This is how I can guaranteed win." Whereas
Yeonsung
was like, okay, here's the like the most straightforward way to play this game, to just make it most resemble the previous versions." He didn't have that moment of genius, and so the story of this DM is that in the end, when it came down to it, he didn't have the moment of genius that it took.
So I guess I agree with you, but it's kind of, my brain for some reason is going back to one of my favorite DM departures of all time, which is Songmin in season 1. The one that still makes me cry thinking about it to this day, where he like feels like the reason he lost was because his age has gone in the way of his memory.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who worries about both age and losing my memory, that one kind of fucked me up real good. And so, like, seeing the parallel to that and Yeonsung being like, man, if I was, like, 5 years younger, I would have been sharp enough to think about this plan that Hyunmin got, and I would have nailed this. But, like, alas, age has taken another victim. It felt less sort of emotionally resonant as similar. Like, I just feel like we've seen this lesson before.
Mm.
And if at the end of the day, my favorite thing about the genius is that we are coming to learn things about ourselves and about the world from these stories and these plays, then this just felt like a reiteration of a point that I already knew.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I guess...
And it's not on... Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like this was a little bit different. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I feel like it was an interesting variant where it's like with Songmin was like, oh, I just am not what I used to be, right? But, like,
yeah.
It wasn't like he lost being like, oh, I've lost to my older self.
Mm-hmm.
He lost just like, I've lost to my, like, to my lapses.
Or to his younger self.
No, to his lapses, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, I've lost because, like, I've lived a life of stress and drinking and, like, basically my vices overcame me.
Yeah.
Whereas this was like, rather than it being like directly, I'm too old for this. I mean, there was an element of that, but it was also just like, I feel like I'm too old for this because I'm next to this person who is everything I thought I was when I was younger.
Yeah. There is a different kind of heartbreak to that.
Mm-hmm.
We've said before, I mean, Yeonsung has been like one of the most relatable people to us as two people in their mid to late 20s being like, man, like, there was a period where I was, like, I had all the time and energy in the world and the, like, sharpness to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just trying to get by. Like, I'm trying to, like, do my best.
It was a time when I had 2 working kidneys.
Exactly. Hey, womp womp. Bump, bump, but you flick one of them and it just goes. speaking of, like, adults working themselves really hard, let's go to the plug zone. No. at the beginning of the episode, they made the joke that we had heard about from fans where they were like, yo, Dongmin, I heard you were on an IV because you're stressed out. Haha. Anyways, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
This is a goof that like the perils of capitalism is it's like funny at the end of the day how much we overwork ourselves.
Yeah, I mean,
it's self-inflicted.
Yeah, because it's like the joke is like, haha, that's a true statement. Like, oh,
that's what
guys.
You said is right. I am. Oh no,
this is bad.
Yeah, that really bothered me, and that was like in the first minute of the episode. I'm like, no, oh god, the genius, you're killing me. I'm gonna die.
And he did, like, he looked physically better. Right?
Yeah.
He looked
he had like a
more
brightness
healthy.
To his face.
He looked like maybe instead of like going home and drinking like a cup of cold coffee and running back to work, he maybe lay down in a chair and got an IV.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Like, I not many times I'm willing to call Dongmin buddy, but buddy.
Buddy. Your old catchphrase, yeah.
I got an IV last week.
Yeah, how'd that go? Did it make you feel good?
It helped. I'm still a bit of a mess, but it helped. It definitely helped. Bump. I had
this,
deeper problems.
This reminds me, and it's mostly relevant because it's South Korea and we're always talking about labor in our lives these days, but it recently one of the members of Twice put out a video on VLive, which is the like social media service for K-pop stars. Where she was basically very open about like this year has been incredibly brutal for her and the rest of Twice, and like they are being overworked and expected to push out a lot more in part because of the studio and in part because of their own desire and will to like keep the fans happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I want nothing more in the world than for the artists that I love to be able to work and put out what they want and also like earn a living wage and be comfortable.
Yeah, they've been putting out a lot this year.
They're putting out more. You're going to get me started, but they're putting out more than they need to, and they're performing fucking every night of the week now at this point.
And what if they took a break and were like, hey, maybe we shouldn't put out this song about how consent is worthless?
All right, 6 Key. All right. Enough with the agenda.
That song is so bad.
I love the dance.
I know you love the dance.
The song is bad. I'm not going to disagree with
you. It's a really catchy melody. I really wish it wasn't. Folks, if you think I'm joking, like, literally, like, the song is just like
yes or yes.
Your options are yes or yes. Tonight I'm throwing no away. Sit down, boy, is yes or yes. And it's like,
yeah,
that's not okay. Yeah. That's bad.
A little bit yikes.
You did a bad job there.
I mean, let me introduce you to the world of music. BTS, the biggest group in the entire multiverse. The fucking main dance of Idol is like just it's an African dance that they just did, and they don't credit anyone for that. They're just like, yeah, we're gonna just do this African dance as part of our chorus because we're handsome, and as our friend Philip put it, most people would rather watch the K-pop version of something than ever interact with art made by Black people. Spice.
Yeah, that's true, but also I like Twice and I don't like BTS. I mean, I don't dislike BTS.
You don't have to.
Care.
No, yeah, BTS is fine.
Just don't care.
Don't. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
there's all everyone. Everyone has their line.
And, sure. Sure.
Yeah. Here and just again, like seeing Dongmin talk about like, yeah, it's great. Isn't it great? I'm here, guys. I'm gonna win. And it's like, this guy's gonna do great. He's in the finals now. Like, good for him. But like, let's work. Let's work towards a future where we don't have to. Where we don't expect, for us as viewers, where we don't expect our celebrities to give us anything, and like nothing should be like expected of them, and that we can take what they do give us and what they're able to put out as a gift and as a pleasure.
Yeah.
In a humble and respectful way.
Yeah. And you know, I you know, Dongmin definitely seems like the kind of person who, I mean, like, you want to say workaholic, like, no fucking kidding, like,
yeah,
almost can't help extreme. Himself, but you know, hopefully, hopefully with less fan pressure, he can find a healthier way of being. I don't know. It's all stressful, and I'm not mad at him or anything for this. Right? It's just
right.
It's just sad.
So next week we are finishing season 3 of The Genius.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the season finale. It's Hyunmin versus Dongmin. I'm assuming I didn't watch the recap or the preview on purpose. I'm assuming it's another like 3 games, best of 3.
Oh, you mean a genius finale?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't that. So I mean, hopefully it's good games. These are our two best players. This is for sure one of like another season where I'm like, yep, those are no doubt the best players in the game so far.
So what games are they gonna play, do you think? It's gonna it's usually two old, one new, right?
Right. I think in terms of old games, they got to do a poker thing, like because they're doing DMs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be a poker thing. They might do a Guild Hop. I kind of wish they would because we haven't actually seen that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the new. I have obviously no clue what the new thing is.
I think they're gonna bring back Monorail. That's the feeling I get.
Yeah, they could.
Because I feel like part of it seems like is that sometimes it's like we brought back a game because we feel like we could have gotten more out of it, right?
And they definitely could have gotten more out of Monorail.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was just about to try watching the episode, but then I realized that always breaks my internet. I remembered for once. Yay!
Hooray.
But yeah, so we'll watch that next weekend. It'll be a meaty episode, both of The Genius and probably of The Garnet Wager. And then
probably.
With our lives.
So I will go ahead and tell you now. I'm going to spend this Friday, counting up all the points, making sure I got everything right for our finale.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you won this week.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was actually closer than you might think.
Excellent. Huh. What's the breakdown?
The breakdown is Dongmin won. the main match. And then, Hyunmin got points. Was elimination candidate, but also did very well in DM. And then, also if you had Yong Sung got some points for,
right.
Elimination speech and also for the passively eating.
Hmm.
He's good for that one, that boy.
Always appreciate when someone passively eats and they're on my team.
It's good. It's good stuff. Whew.
Deep breaths. Indeed. Almost there.
So it's time for you to assign homework, Alan.
Right. Continuing the trend of me assigning television and you assigning games, I'm torn right now between either... what's the last TV show that I assigned us? Do we remember?
Atlantis.
The TV show.
Milo's Return.
That doesn't count because that's a TV show that they turned into a movie. Do you remember what it was before that?
Yes. Dragon Prince.
Okay. So I was going to just do another Netflix original, but that's kind of boring. I want to do one of those old cartoons that people always talked about that I never watched, but an American cartoon, not an anime. And I've seen Batman the Animated Series, and I think I've seen Superman the Animated Series, and I've definitely seen Justice League the Animated Series.
So all DC. Got it.
I watched a lot of DC cartoons as a kid. What is the one I'm thinking of? Oh, I've watched that one as a kid too. Man, I watched all the shows. I guess there's no more shows to watch.
I guess.
Hmm.
Remember when you made me watch Digimon?
I do remember when I made. Well, that's why I'm trying not to skew that into that direction. I'm trying to.
It's not like I just hate things that are Japanese. Just that Digimon sucks ass.
That's false, but it's fine. You're allowed to be wrong. I don't want us to watch Gravity Falls because I don't want to watch Gravity Falls. I don't want to be that person.
Sure.
Let's watch the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. No, bad idea.
Did you ever see Castlevania, the Netflix thing?
I watched the first episode.
I haven't. Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
It's just good though. It's actually good for interesting reasons.
Hmm.
We should either watch. You can pick. How about that? Between two. I have two options for you.
Okay.
We can watch Daria or we can watch Gargoyles.
I've seen Daria, so we should do Gargoyles.
How is Daria?
It's good, actually.
Yeah?
Maybe we should watch Daria, then. It's been a long time.
Isn't she just you? Isn't, that the joke?
I mean, she's a detached, she's a detached high school, low-level goth literature person.
Oh shit.
She's just existential crisis teenager.
Okay.
Daria's good.
I'm going to watch Daria. Let's watch Daria.
All right, let's watch Daria.
Let's get a couple episodes in. I mean, it's only No, there's a lot of episodes.
We could watch Daria the movie. Is it Daria the musical actually, I think.
Ew, what? Ew. Is that a real thing?
I think it is, yeah.
Is it Are you being serious or are you just making a joke?
I'm being serious. I'm pretty sure it's a real thing.
No, I mean as in should we watch it?
Oh, I don't know.
No, let's watch Daria Daria.
Okay.
I'm the annoying person who watched Beavis and Butthead and didn't go on to watch Daria, the better show. Oh, I see. Daria had a musical episode. Maybe we'll try to watch that.
I thought there was a movie they put out that was
maybe
a musical.
I looked up Daria musical. I just got the musical episode.
I could be wrong. I only ever saw ads for it. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I'm gonna do two things. One, all I know is that she was a side character on Beavis and Butthead. And two, there's like the whole soundtrack controversy where, like, depending on which version you watch, you either get the good music or the useless music. So I'm gonna try and find the one with the because MTV like lost the rights to all of the whole soundtrack.
I see.
So most like DVD and official releases of Daria are on with the like replaced soundtrack, which is bad. We'll figure it out.
I guess we will.
And that will happen next time on The Garden Wager. So stay tuned, kids.
I just feel drained, Alan.
Yeah.
I feel like I need recharge. To plug back in.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Plug Zone! This is a section where we plug our shit. Six, plug your shit.
Hi, I've got shit. Let's plug it. I'm Six Demar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Demar. SIXDETTMAR. If you want to find out what shows and stuff I do, they're on there. I will specifically point out Patreon at patreon.com/scanlightmedia because I do hard work and you should check it out. Alan, what about you?
True. I can currently be heard on another podcast that comes out weekly. It's called Chats, a television podcast. That's the one I co-host with my friend Michelin, where we watch Babylon 5, and we're going to continue doing so for like another year. And we watch it two episodes a week and talk about it. And it's ups and downs. So you can check that out wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's a neat show to listen to. I'm not watching it, but I'm listening to the episodes about it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to hear this show where it's like, it feels very mature, but not like I'm not talking about like fucking Game of Thrones mature. It's a show where people have their conflicts and they don't pretend that they don't. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really interesting to have these people be like very maturely like, okay, our interests here do not align.
Yeah. It's honestly a more, and I think mature is a good word for that, but like a more mature version of the space drama that you see so many other places. Handled mostly really well, except when they get into like fake alien space racism.
Yeah.
But it's got a ton of promise. I'm like so invested in that universe that like you listen to that show and you can just hear me like slowly fall in love with it.
The only thing I'll say as far as the podcast that you do is that I think it's about time for another Babylon 5 Applebee's skit.
Oh yeah, we do need to bring that back. You're right. I will. I think it's once a season. For people who don't know what we're talking about, as we get to know the characters more, we will continue to try and work out this bit that we conceived of early where it's all of the cast at an Applebee's ordering food. That's what you're referring to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But early on, it's extra funny because I don't know how to characterize anyone, so I'm just like guessing. But the more we know them, the more, like in theory, funny it'll be.
Like your earliest one is just like basically you doing like Goku and Vegeta, and it's just like,
yeah,
that's, I mean, like you're on to something, but also there's definitely more going on here.
right.
So
two of those boys will kill each other at some point in the series.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. So check that out, and again, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you for being a listener of The Garnet Wager.
Indeed. But until next time, we're gonna say our classic phrase. A classic catchphrase. Our eternal catchphrase.
Don't chop onions unless you got a knife.
Peace out.